We've had a great weekend. We have two special guests with us this morning. I want to introduce you to the first one, Jennifer Kennedy Dean. Jennifer, why don't you come on up and join us? Jennifer shared with us yesterday here a conference on prayer and the importance of living a praying life. In fact, that's the title of your book, as well as many other books that you've written. And one of those books, Heart's Cry, has been named the National Day of Prayer's recommended source resource for this year. And so very exciting for that. Jennifer is the Executive Director of the Praying Life Foundation, author and speaker. And I wanted to have Jennifer meet you and you to meet her. And Jennifer, I know prayer has been the passion of your life.
Yeah.
Studying it, praying, teaching it all, writing about it. And so boy, all that packed into 5 minutes here. So we've given you 5 minutes to tell us the whole load. You can handle that. So come on over. Let's welcome Jennifer. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's been just a delight to be with you this weekend. And so I just want to share a little thought about prayer for us to take into the day with us. Yesterday, we talked all day about the difference between a prayer life and a praying life. When we move from a paradigm of packaging words between dear God and amen and hoping we get them in the right order so God will approve, to living in a continual flow of relationship so that we're just walking in the power and provision of God and seeing His hand at every turn. God has designed prayer to be a force, to be the conduit that moves His power and provision out of what we call the heavenly realms and into the circumstances of earth. It is a powerful force, and God has designed it. And He designed it so that it works. He hasn't made it tricky. He hasn't made it complicated and difficult. He is not waiting for you to make your way through a maze and hit the right lever to get Him to do what you think He needs to do. He has made prayer simple and accessible. And so I want to just share a very quick illustration from the scripture to help us understand how simple prayer is. I want to use a story from the book of John when Jesus turned water into wine at a wedding in Canaan. So at this wedding, Jesus is newly on the scene as a rabbi. He's just been baptized. He has a couple of disciples. He has never done a miracle. And John is clear to state that when he tells us the story. Jesus has never done a miracle. So in this setting, understand that no one is anticipating a miracle. Now, Mary is not anticipating a miracle. He's never done one. It's never come up. But Mary knows this about Jesus. I don't know what he's going to do, but whatever the problem is, I know that he knows how to take care of it. Let's watch that play out as Mary, for some reason at this wedding, is in charge behind the scenes. And they run out of wine at the wedding. And behind the scenes, there must have been a moment of panic. The servants came to Mary, and there must have been panic in their voices when they said something like, "Mary, they have no wine." And I think Mary responded with something that came across as, "Don't worry, I've got it covered." And then the scripture reports that she says these words. Now remember, she has said something like, "Don't worry, I've got it covered. Jesus, they have no wine." See how simple that is? When the load lands on your shoulders, you can transfer it into His hands. You don't have to know what He's going to do and how He's going to fix it. You just have to know this about Jesus. He'll know what to do. Now, Jesus made what to our 21st century and perhaps Gentile ears sounds like a harsh reply. "Woman," but actually that's a gentle word. It's the same word he used from the cross to say, "Woman, behold your son." And then he uses a Hebrew idiom translated directly into English words. It comes across like this. What has that to do with you and me? But it's a Hebrew idiom. The Amplified Bible gets it pretty close. Really, it meant, "Now that has nothing to do with you and everything to do with me." And then he said, "My time has not yet come." Now, Jesus is so careful about timing that you will never convince me that what that meant was, it's not really time, but since you're my mama, I'm going to go ahead. You remember that as the story unfolded, no one knew that it was Jesus who turned the water into wine. And I can tell you, as the mother of three sons, I would have been behind that wine steward as he served the wine saying, "You know, that was water until my son got hold of it." So he's warning her, it's not time. It's not time to pull out all the stops and the bragging. But what you see in that is here is Mary, who knows Jesus like nobody else knows him. And she just knows this. Whatever the problem is, he'll know what to do. You see, the secret to powerful prayer is not how to give God the answer, it's how to give God the problem. And prayer is this simple. Sometimes the most powerful prayer you need to pray will sound something like this. Jesus, they have no wine.